Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama daf Nun Ches. We left off on daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We are at the two dots toward the bottom of the page on daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. So the Mishnah said that Nafla Lagina V'Nenis Mishalemis Mashanenis. If an animal falls into a garden and gets Hana'a from falling into the garden, which we'll discuss in a second, what kind of Hana'a it gets from falling into the garden, it pays for the Hana'a that it receives from falling into the garden. The Mishnah went on to say, but if it was Yarda Kedarka V'Izika, Mishalemis Mashi Izika, that if it didn't fall, but it went in its normal way, it went down into the garden and it damaged, then you pay for the full damages. Then you pay for the actual Nezek. Now Tosus on the bottom over here, which I guess really belongs on the Mishnah, but Tosus on the bottom over here discusses this line, Nafla Lagina V'Izika, which would be V'Nanis, Mishalemis Mashi Nanis, says Tosus, V'Hu She'ena Yichol Aleret. When we say that an animal falls, it only pays for the Hana'a, that's assuming that the animal could not have otherwise gotten there had it not fallen. Meaning it couldn't just walk down into that garden. Because if it were possible for the animal to just walk into the garden and it fell into the garden, then it would still have to pay the full hezek, because that would be a case of tchilasim b'shiyavasav ba'onas. You're leaving the animal in the place where it could easily walk into the garden, do whatever damage it wants. That's therefore pshia, it's a lack of shmir on the animal. If it then chooses to, if it then instead falls, which is an ones, so you should still have to play, you should still have to pay mashi izika, because it's chilasa b'pshia, v'safa ba'ones. So the case of our Mishnah is where it's nafla, and the only way it could have gotten there is by being nafla, is by falling into the garden. And that's why it only pays mashananis. And Tosu says, v'seifa d'ktari yarda, and the case of the seifa where it says that the animal goes down into the garden and damages, where it pays mashizika, meaning if the Gemara wanted to contrast, if the Mishnah rather wanted to contrast a case where you put it with a case where you only pay Mashinenis with a case that you pay Mashizika, couldn't they have said a much bigger chiddush in the Mashizika case? Instead of saying a case of Mashizika is where the animal walks down into the garden, it could have been made the chiluk within a case of falling. It could have said even if the animal fell into the garden, but it was in a position where it was able to walk into the garden, you would still pay Mashi Zika, because it's Klasa B'Pashiyah V'Sofa Ba'ones. Why doesn't the Mishnah use that case? Why does the Mishnah go to the other extreme immediately and say that the case where it pays Mashi Zika is if the animal walks into the garden and makes it sound like there is no case where the animal falling into the garden will pay Mashi Zika? So he says, nah, it's just Orcha de Mil Sanakat. The reason the Mishnah chose the case of the animal walking into the garden is because that's the more normal case. But even if the animal were to fall into the garden, but it was in a position previously that it could have walked into the garden, you would still have to pay Mashi Zika. So anyway, we had said in the Mishnah that if it falls, you only pay Mashi Nenis. Amar Rav ben Nechvita. So Rav says, that which we say you pay Mashi Nenis is talking about the chavata, the impact on the ground, on the grain, that when the animal fell on the grain, it ruined the grain that it fell on, and it got hana'a because it didn't get hurt from the ground. It cushioned its fall. The grain that was in the garden cushioned the fall of the animal, so the animal didn't have a strong impact on the ground. So that's what we're saying, you pay for that hana'a. Aval achla, but if the animal ate, the animal found itself in the garden and then started to eat, then afilu mashananis ain't a mishalemes. Then it sounds like you wouldn't even have to pay mashananis. So Rashi points out, this is not all Rav talking. Rav just said one word. Rav said, b'nechbita. The Gemara then comments on Rav, so that means to say that achla afilu mashananis ain't a mishalemes. Why is Rav only talking about the chibut? Why is he only talking about the impact? What about what the animal eats? So the Gemara itself is commenting that what the animal eats, apparently, you wouldn't have to pay for at all, even mashananis. Not only would you not have to pay mashizik, you wouldn't even have to pay mashananis. That's the Gemara asking that kasha. That's what Rashi adds in that word. If you look at the third wide line of Rashi, Rashi says, uparchinan, aval achla, afil mashananis, lo mashalemis bitmiyah. The Uparchinon indicates that it's no longer Rav talking, that it's the Gemara talking. That the Gemara then asks, then even if it, even what it gets enough from, if it ate, it should not have to pay, shouldn't have to pay anything. So why would that be? What would be the svar to say? An animal falls into a garden and starts eating everything there, that you wouldn't have to pay anything. For the fall, which was a total onus, you have to pay mashananis. But for everything it eats after that, you don't have to pay anything. So says Gemara, lema Rav l'tamei. Maybe this is Rav l'shita so. Dama Rav, hayala shalot tochal. Because we know that Rav says in general, hayala shalot tochal. Where did Rav say that? If I bring my peros into someone else's chatzer without permission. So we said that if the animal that lives in that chatzer eats the peros and gets hurt by them, the bala peros we said that if the animal that lives in the chatzar is hurt by the peros, the bala peros is going to be chayiv. And Rav explained that's only if the animal that lives in the chatzar slips and hurts himself on the peros. But if the animal eats the peros and gets sick from eating the peros, then I am putter for paying for the damage done to the animal because I have a svara. The animal shouldn't have eaten it. So even though I brought peros where they weren't supposed to be, and an animal that was where it was supposed to be ate the peros and got sick from it, the bala peros does not have to pay for anything, because you can always have a taina that the animal should have chosen not to eat from the peros. What does it have to do with our case? So says Rashi, the last three lines. Vahachanami amar bala behema biuridasa. Anusahi. So the Bala Behema could say, well, when the animal is falling, so that was anus, shari nafla. Uba achilasa, and when it was eating, hayalosh lo tochal. I didn't expect it to eat. You always say animals aren't supposed to eat. Umani yachalasa, so what am I supposed to do? The animal wasn't supposed to eat. So therefore I should be off the hook, I shouldn't have to pay for what my animal ate after it fell into your garden. That's the Havamin of the Gemara right now, that's what Rav is saying. That Rav is Lushitaso, that I'm not going to have to pay for what my animal ate because I don't expect the animals to eat. So the Gemara says, no, it's a very terrible comparison, those two halachos. They're not at all the same. Amri hachi hashta, it's a very bad comparison. Emer da amar Rav hasam hayalo shlo tochal, hecha de itzika hi, te matziyam le mari de piri, lamashalamna hayalo shlo tochal. When do we say hayalo shlo tochal? When my peros did damage. Right, when my peros did damage, I can say, Hayalo shlo tochal, your animal should not have eaten my peros, and then it wouldn't have gotten damaged. But where do we ever see that you're going to say it shouldn't have eaten when my animal goes and damages your peros? That's going to get me off the hook from paying in the other direction? Meaning we only use it to say that the peros should be part of from paying a behema. That was a good svar to say the peros should be part, the bal peros should be part of from paying the bal behema. Where do we ever find that we're going to use that svar in the reverse also? That the bal behema should be part of from paying the bal peros because of such a svara of hayilo shelo tochal. Adraba, if it's hayilo shelo tochal is a svara to say that I left my peros there and I didn't expect anything to, I didn't expect them to do damage to your behema, but to say that hayilo shelo tochal, I didn't expect my own animal to eat, to say it about my own animal, and therefore to get me off the hook for what my own animal did, we never have such a svara. So says Mara Ella, so rather, what was Rav talking about? When Rav says that our Mishnah of Mishalemis Mashadenis is only talking about Nechbita, sounds like it's not talking about Achla, so what does that mean about Achla? It can't mean that you're totally putter for Achla, because we just pointed out that there's no svara to say that if the animal falls in there and starts eating, that you're totally putter. Ella lomi bayakama. Rather, it's written in the style of lomi baya, meaning it doesn't even need to talk about achla. Lomi baya achla de mishalemis mashanenis av nechbata imam avriacharim nixchaveruhu mashanenis nami lo mishalim. You don't even need to tell me about a case of achla where it pays mashanenis, it pays for the hana'ah. That's obvious that it's going to have to pay for the hana'ah. But when it's nechbata, I might think it shouldn't have to pay anything, because it's mavriach harim minichse chavero, and therefore shouldn't pay anything. What does it mean, it's mavriach harim minichse chavero? If I see a lion coming after your property, and I have the ability to chase that lion away, to scare it away, by making a loud noise or something, so I have a responsibility to do that. I have to be mavriach harim minichse chavero. So your animal is falling into my garden, and I have the ability to protect it by having my garden cushion its fall, so it's mavriach harim minichse chavero. So that would be the havamina, that you shouldn't have to pay pay me anything because I had a responsibility to make sure that your animal doesn't get ruined. So I was just mavriach ari, the ari over here being the hard ground. So I kept away the hard ground from damaging nichsei chavero, which in this case is the animal. So therefore, I would think that you shouldn't have to pay anything at all. Come Ashmala, and therefore comes teach me that no, you still do have to pay mashinenis. You don't get off the hook just because the Baal Hasada was mavriach ari from your animal. So fracting marveim hachinami. Why not though? It sounds like a good svara. Why don't we say that the guy who owns the field, the garden, was mavriach ari minichsei chavero, and therefore you could have no you have no monetary obligation toward him. He was just doing what he has to do, so he could have no monetary claim on you. So answers Gemara, no, there's a big difference between mavriach ari and this case. Mavriach ari minichsei chavero midaitohu. Hai lav midaitohu. If I see something going after your field, yes, I get rid of that thing, but I make the conscious decision to do so. That's called mavriach ari minichsei chavero. Over here, your animal fell into my field. I didn't know your animal was falling in. I didn't put my plants there to save your animal. I put my plants there because I wanted to eat those plants one day. But it happened to be your animal was in the right place at the right time, or my plants were in the right place at the right time that are protecting your animal from the impact of the fall. But certainly it was not with any das, it was not with any kavana to do so. Inami, another chilek is mavriach ari minichsei chavero lestei pseida. When I chase away your animal from, a lion from your field, I don't lose any money by doing that. It doesn't cost me anything. I just make a loud noise and the animal runs away. But hi, islei pseida. Over here, I'm losing. Over here, your animal fell into my field. It's not that I chased away the ground and didn't cost me anything. My produce was there, and that's what cushioned its fall, and you ruined my produce. So in that case, I lost money, and when I lose money, you can't call that a case of mavriach ari. So it sounds like the Gemara is giving two distinct answers. One is that it's not called mavriach ari whenever I don't have kavana to be mavriach ari, and two, that it's not called mavriach ari whenever there's a loss of money. Tosfos, however, and the Ran as well, we'll see Tosfos though because it's more convenient. Tosfos, however, says that this is a problematic reading of the Gemara because it seems to be against a number of other Gemaras in Shas. If you look at Tosfos in Tomar, Hare Parea Chovo de Chashin le mavriach ari Bereshin Bein Amudar, Afagavdis le Pseida. When I pay someone's debt, that's called mavriach ari minichsei chavero. The Gemara calls that mavriach ari minichsei chavero. But isn't that islei pseida? Isn't there a loss involved when I pay someone else's debt? I'm losing that money. I'm paying money. So how can you say mavriach ari is only in cases where there's no financial loss to be mavriach ari? So says Tosfos Yesh Lama Dachi Perusho. Mavriach ari minichsei chavero midaito. V'kiven de midaito afilu islei pseida kimo porea chovo chash mavriach ari. Hai shalom midaito. Inami mavriach ari minichsei chavero afilu kasheinu midaito el chavero machricho lavriach ari meedro lesle pseida lemavriach hai isle pseida v'kiven diikatarti shalom midaito v'isle pseida lo chashu mavriach ari. That's the key line. That when do we say mavriach ari is going to be when do we say the case is going to be considered mavriach ari? If you have both elements, that it's both shalom midaito and there's a pseida involved, that's where we say it's not mavriach ari. The only way for it not to be mavriach ari is if you have two qualifications. It's both going to cost me money and it's shalom midaito. But one or the other is still called mavriach ari. Aval midaito afilu islei pseida o shalom midaito v'leslei pseida chashav mavriach ari ve'nosin la'afilu scharo. That's still going to be called mavriach ari if you have either that it's midaito, that it's shalom midaito, but there either it's midaito and there is a loss, or it's shalom midaito and lesleip seida. In either of those cases, that's going to be called mavriach ari. So why is pareach chovish chaver mavriach ari? Because I'm doing it midaito. And the fact that I'm doing it midaito makes it mavriach ari, even though there's a loss of money. So essentially, the Gemara says an inami, but it's not two answers. It's one answer. We're saying, why is this not a case of mavriach ari? And the Gemara answers, because in order for it to be a case of, for something to be a case of mavriach ari, it has to have one or the other. It has to be either consciously done or no loss. loss of money, and in this case it is unconsciously done, and it is there is a loss of money, and therefore it is not a case of Mavriachari. That is part one of Tosos. We're not going to read all Tosos, but there are another couple of important points in Tosos. Says Tosos part two, Vim Tomar, the Bisofa Socher Sapolim, in the Gemara in Bamitziat Sadigimel, Amar, the Shomarchinim Shoyla, the Kadim Barovim, Makalos, the Lokadam, Chayiv. If a Shomarchinim should have done something to protect the object, and he chose not to, he's going to be Chayiv. Umefarish, Shomarchinim Bechinim, Shomar Sachar Besachar, Umasik the Chosev and Notam Mibalabayas. Umashma, the Shomarchinim Lomachayiv, the Kadim Beschar, that a Shomarchinim does not have to spend money to go and protect the object. Aval kolshkein im kada mischar de shapar avad. But it sounds like if he does, then he did a good thing. And if he spends money to protect the object that's in his care, we would reimburse him for the expenses. So it sounds like the same would apply of anyone who spends money to protect somebody else's stuff. Meaning if a Shomer Chinam who spends money to protect somebody, to protect the item under his care, is going to get reimbursed for the expense, so anyone else who spends money, who's not a Shomer, to protect somebody else's stuff, should get reimbursed for the expense. So over here as well, when the animal falls and I cushion the fall by having my produce there, I'm spending money, I'm losing my produce to protect the other person's animal. So shouldn't I get paid back for the expense? Vein svar lechalik bein roe atzmo shemuta lovelis asek velishmar leinish da'alma. And don't tell me that there's a chilik between a shomer chinam who's a roe, someone who's a shepherd who's supposed to be the shomer, and just stam a guy. Either way, it should be the same. If I spend money to protect somebody else's items, I should get paid back. So that's kasha number one. Va'oda min va'gozel basra. Furthermore, we say in the second parak ha'gozel, shatav nor chamoro v'chamor chavero. If let's say a river sweeps up my donkey and someone else's donkey as well, v'iniach shalom. And I let mine go, and instead I save my friend's donkey. Ain lo el scharo. I only get my schar, but uscharo mi ashakil. But meaning you don't have to reimburse me for my lost donkey, but you do have to pay me for my time and for my effort. But I do get that schar. V'lomrin mavriach ribi almahu. So we don't say it's mavriach ribi alma. We don't just say, nah, why should you have to pay? It's mavriach ribi. So you see, all these cases apparently don't fit in the category of mavriach ribi. But why not? Why in these cases do you get paid? Why isn't it in the case where I'm a shomer and I spend money to make sure, or I'm not a shomer, just an inish d'alma, I spend money to make sure that nothing happens to your object? Why isn't that called mavriach ribi? And in the case over here of the river sweeping something up, and I save your animal, I get paid. Why isn't that mavriach ribi? Why do I get paid? V'chein meishav aveda shenosan l'schar kapol bata lo amr delavi kem mavriach ribi alma v'leitol klum. And also when I'm a meishav aveda and I that we give me schar for watching it, we also don't say that I'm just a mavriach ribi. The ein lomar de b'kol hanu afukav de minadino yipater mikol makom takanas hachamu sheyishalim lo kedei sheyashav avedasu shal chavero. Avu perechovo ein lomar lasos takana yidei ze. Meaning, and don't say that enochinami, it's really all a case of mavriach ribi, and all these payments are just a takanas chachamim in order to encourage good behavior. The hacha b'shmaitin mashma di have a midaito have a chash of mavriach ribi, because it sounds like in our Gemara that if this were a case of midaito where he protected the animal's fall with kavana, it would be a case of mavriach ribi. V'lo hayonot el klum, and he wouldn't get any money. Afal pishu matzel chaverim, and I have said losu takana. Even though I'm saving you from losing by saving your animal, there is no takana d'rabanan. This would be a case of mavriach ribi. So what's the chilik? So basically, Tosfos says we have all these gemaras where people protect other people's stuff and they get paid for it. And we don't say it's called mavriach ribi. So says the Ri Yisodos Dekateretz v'nira l'ri de mavriach ribi she'enu notel schar haynu k'she'en hadavar barur she'yavali dei hafsid. When do we say mavriach ribi doesn't get paid? It's when it's not so obvious that there would have been a loss had he not been there. Kigon shari rachel v'en yodeh im yavokan hari im lav. The lion is not right by the field with his mouth open about to eat up whatever's in the field. No, the Ari is somewhere far away, and I just make sure that I get it out of town before it has a chance to get to the field. But we don't know that it ever would have gotten here in the first place. But if you know for sure that it's going to come to a loss, Azvade notel schara kumo shatuf nar chamor chavero. Big chiddush. But if I see the lion is literally about to eat your field and I chase it away, then of course I get paid for my actions. V'hach teshmaitin mayri sheitzilu yirakos mitzar bi'alma shein balvei marotze shetechbat behemto ba'aretz v'titzta'er. What about in our case? We're about to label our case as mavriach ari. I thought we said mavriach, our case in the Gemara, where the animal's falling on the vegetables. I thought mavriach ari is only when the hezek is not necessarily going to happen. The animal falling on the ground is not a hezek that's about to happen. So says Tosus, no. The animal falling on the ground, nothing would have happened to the animal. It just would have been in a little bit of pain. And the owner of the animal has a relationship with his animal. He's a card-carrying member of PETA. He doesn't want the animal to be in any sort of pain. So he feels badly about it. And that's what you're protecting. But you're not protecting any real damage to the animal. If you were protecting any real damage to the animal, then it would never be a real case of mavriach ari. You would always be entitled to some reimbursement. The animal would not have lost any value. And that's why, had our case been a case of midaito, it would have been mavriach ari, because you're not actually saving any money from the guy, for the guy. And in the case of parei chovo, you're not saving him from hefsid. The fact that the guy had to pay someone else money, that's not called a hefsid, because he owed him that money. It's a hefsid if he would have lost money. But over here, this is money that he owes. You can't call money that someone owes a hefsid. So I'm not saving the guy from a hefsid when I pay, ironically, even though I could be saving him a lot of money, because I'm paying for him, but it's not called saving him from a hefsid when I'm paying back his money. That's not a loss of money. That's the and just one more ha'ara in Tosos, two lines. If you skip a couple of lines, he quotes the Gemara in Babasra. V'adukari becheskas habatim avriach ari nasan tsrar v'hoil natal tsrar v'hold sachar minei maya v'hotzi minei maya afal pishem atzila mehefsid shaynar shodfa. So the Gemara considers a case of mavriach ari where I remove rocks from the field and allow for the flow of water or channel the flow of water away from the field so that it doesn't the river doesn't flood the field. We call that mavriach ari. Had I not done that, the field would have gotten flooded. So I'm saving real hefsid over there. It's not a chance. No, this is really happening over there. It was a case where damage was really going to happen. And we still call it mavriach ari. I thought we just said mavriach ari is only when it's questionable whether I'm really saving him anything. So says Tosos, Nakat Lashon Mavriach Ari Le'in Sheyifter Chaver Mischar Havrachaso. In that case, when we call it Mavriach Ari, we're not saying it's Mavriach Ari in the sense that the guy's not going to have to get paid for being Mavriach. Elokolomar De'inza Chazaka, De'inza Tikun Kumarafik Baporta. If you learn Cheskas Abatim, it's all about how to make a chazaka. It's not all about, it's mostly about chazaka batim, but partly about making a chazaka in a field, about a person. This isn't chazaka, but this is at the end of chazaka batim. It's about how a person makes a chazaka on karka over there. It's talking about what a proper type of kinyan on karka is. So over there, we're using the term mavriach ari, but not in the normal sense. Normally, when we say mavriach ari, we're talking about the fact that since I'm just protecting you, I'm not going to get paid for my actions. Over there, that's not what we're saying. I will get paid for my actions over there. We're just saying that I'm only mavriach ari as opposed to showing any form of bailus on the field by making my own kinyan chazaka. By doing those items, it's not a show of bailus, it's a show of being a good Samaritan and saving your field. I might get paid for that because your field definitely would have gotten ruined had I not done it, but that's what we're using the term mavriach ari. So meaning the reason why that line in Tosfos is important is to just show us that even though we're saying rules of what's called mavriach ari, the rules are not always consistent. You have to be careful. Sometimes the Gemara will use the term mavriach ari in a different context as well. Okay, let's see the Gemara weiter. So, Hechi nafal, how did the animal fall? What was the case? Rav Kana amar shehuchka b'memei ragla. Rav Kana says it slipped on its own urine. Rav amar shedachvus achaverta. Rav says, no, another animal that you were walking pushed it. So mandi amar shedachvus achaverta, kol shekhen shehuchka b'memei ragla. If you say that even when another animal pushed it, it's going to only pay mashen enes, then kol shekhen when it's a real ones, when it slipped on its own urine, that's a bigger ones, that it's only going to have to pay mashen enes, not mashe zika. But mandi yomar shehuchlika b'meimei ragleha, but the shita that says that it was huchlika b'meimei ragleha, that it slipped on its own meiraglayim, avul dachlis hachaverta, pasho mishalem es mashe izika, but if its friend had pushed it, that would be called a posheya, and it would pay for the damage done. Because what are you walking to your animals so close to each other? You should have kept them at some sort of distance from each other and not kept them so close. So we have this machlokas of what the case is of how the animal fell between Rav Kahana and Rava. How do we paskin? So the Tosfos Yontif wants to be machriya that the halacha must be like Rava. Why? From a diuk in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Yarda, and that the case where you're going to be chayiv mashi zika is a case of yarda. According to Rava, though, according to Rav Kahana, though, the Mishnah could have said that the case where it pays mashi zika is it's nafla, but dachvas achaverta, right? That the other animal pushed it, and that's called pshia, and therefore you pay mashi zika. So from the fact that when the Mishnah wanted to come up with a case of mashi zika, it picks a case of yarda rather than nafla with dachvas achaverta. So Tos Yontif wants to bring a raya. So you see, it must be that we paskin like Rava. So says the Rashash, ulechara tamua hachilo yada Rav Kahana lemeida kavasei. Why, you think Rav Kahana didn't think of the same diuk in the Mishnah that the Tosfos Yontif thought of? If the Mishnah was meduyuk like Rava, the Gemara generally points those things out. The Gemara would have said, you have to say that it's not a diuk. Why? Because you could read the Mishnah as follows. Read the Mishnah as saying that if the animal slips, then you only pay mashanenis. But if it gets pushed by another animal, that's kimi sheyarda. I mean, like, we always read Mishnayos like that. Even though the Mishnah only mentions Yarda, you read it as if it's saying, but if anything short of the animal slipping happens, then it's Kimi Sheyarda. It says, if the animal went down itself into the garden, in which case you pay Mashi Zika. So that's what Rashash says. So Ziyantiv's Raya of Hadapaskin over here may not be a Raya at all. Okay, Viter. Amar Rav Kahana lo shanuel ba'usa aruga. Av me'aruga lo aruga mishlam es mashe izika. The idea that you're only going to pay mashanenis is only in the road that it fell. But if it goes from one road to the other, then you pay mashe izika. The Rush points out that's assuming that the roeh, that the shomer, was able to stop it from eating the other arugos. Otherwise, it's still a pure ones. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Me'aruga La'aruga V'Afilu Kol Yom Kulo Ashetetze V'Taksel Das. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it can eat whatever it wants down there. You're still only going to pay Masha Nenis and not Masha Yizika until that the animal left that field and returned to that field. That's when you start paying Masha Yizika. Amar Papa Lo Tema Ashetetze L'Das V'Taksel L'Das. You don't need that you know the animal left the field and came back to the field. El Kimen Shiatzel L'Das Af Pishachas Shlo L'Das. Once you know the animal left the field, it doesn't matter how the animal got back there. Now you're going to be chayiv. My time, huh? Damle Kimen Diyalfa Kalemis De Mishtamta L'Hasam Riyata. Because even though I don't know that the animal went back to that field, if I know the animal had a history in that field, once ate in that field, and now I know the animal's out of that field, I have to be careful because I know that the animals tend to go back where they got food last time. So that's where my extra chiv of shmira kicks in right then, to make sure that the animal doesn't go back to that place. So that's the immediate chiv. So you don't need to know that it went back to the field to be chayiv for it. Even if you didn't know, you should have known. Yarda kedarki v'ziko mishlemes mashi ziko. So the Mishnah said, if the animal just walks down into the field and damages, then you pay for the full damages. By Rabbi Yirmiya, yarda kedarki v'ziko b'mei leida mahu. What if the animal goes into the field and has a baby, and the fluids that come out of the animal when it has a baby damage the fruits? Then what's the din? Do you have to pay for that? So you may notice that's a strange question to ask. It's a weird case that it's going to start paying with the that it's going to damage with its meleida. So this is not unusual for Rabbi Yirmiya. This is not at all out of character for Rabbi Yirmiya. If you look in a number of Gemaras in Gittin Daf to Zayin and Sota Daf to Zayin and Nida Daf Chav Gimel, the Shor Mitzvah Balacha quotes all the different places in Shas. Rabbi Yirmiya always comes up with the wildest cases and starts asking Shas about them. The most famous one, of course, is Babasu Chav Gimel. That's the case where The Gemara talks about the birds, that you assume that a bird that can't yet fly within 50 amos of the dovecot is for sure belongs to that nest. But more than 50 amos, you assume a bird can't hop that far, and therefore must have come me'alma, could have come from anywhere. And Rabbi Yirmiyah says, what if it has 1 foot in 50 amos, 1 foot out of 50 amos? And by that time, they were so fed up with Rabbi Yirmiyah, they threw him out of the base medrash. But this is Rabbi Yirmiyah's style. He asks these kinds of questions. So anyway, so Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, what if the me'leda did damage? So Alibadaman Diamar Tchilas of Shivas of Bonus Chayiv Loti Baylach. If you hold Tchilas of Shivas of Bonus, it's always Chayiv. It's no Shaila. Kiti Baylach Alibadaman Diamar Tchilas of Shivas of Bonus Pater. The Shaila is only if you hold Tchilas of Shivas of Bonus is Pater, because this is certainly a case of Tchilas of Shivas of Bonus. Mi Amin and Kim Tchilas of Shivas of Bonus Pater. Do you say that this is Tchilas of Shivas of Bonus and therefore you're Pater? Adil Mahacha Kula B'Pshiyahu. Or maybe you assume that this is total Pshia. The Kivin the Kachazi the Krave Lala Melad. Because since it's you see that the animal is about to give birth, you have to keep that animal under close watch. You can't let the animal wander at all when it's about to give birth. Maybe it's not. Maybe letting the animal go anywhere is called a pshia in that case. Teku. So just one quick word. The mitzvah eson asks the kasha that doesn't, and he doesn't have a teretz for it. It seems like a very strong kasha. In this case of the Me'leda, sounds like, what's the Shaila? Do you have to pay? So what are the two possibilities? Either Nezek Shalim or nothing, is what it sounds like. Says the Mitzvah Eisan, Kivin Shetinfa Peros, Kamash Kosov HaRambam, Uchash Mishma, V'tzarachiyin, Demashma Demachayiv Kola Nezek. Sounds like you would have to pay the whole thing. U'mayshna Me'had La'el, She'etila Galalim Le'isa, D'chashav La'tzroros. The animal goes to the bathroom and ruins produce that way. So we said before, it's called Shraros, it only pays Chatzi Nezek. So we hear also by the Me'leda. Why don't we have a compromise Shita? We're asking whether you pay Nezek Shalim, maybe you pay nothing. Maybe you pay Chatzi Nezek, maybe it's Shraros. And if you're going to say that the animal had the Me'leda and then it did damage afterwards, not as it came out, but afterwards, then it's a case of bar, and you're chayiv, you're pater on kelim in bar. So if it ruined kelim afterwards, you'd for sure be pater. So that's a stark akasha of the mitzvah, and he doesn't have a teretz for it. Okay, says in Maraviter, ketzem mishlemes mashi izika. How do you determine the value of mashi izika? How do you pay mashi izika? Minani mili. So the Mishnah said, how do you determine it? Not based on the value of what it ruined, but based on the value of the field before you did your ruining, and the value of the field after you did your ruining, and you just pay the difference in the two. So minan immediately, how do we know that to be the case? Amar Rav Masna Damakra, Ubir B'Steyacher, Malamich Hashanam Al Gav Steyacher. We see that you evaluated based on the value of the field, but not based on the value of what you had ruined. This is in the Ma'oros Daf Yomi that Elisha brings to the shul. They point out there's a machlokas Chavetz Chaim and Chaznish. If let's say my kids are playing baseball and they hit a baseball, they're strong enough and it breaks the window of my neighbor's house. So what do I have to pay my neighbor? So normally you would say, like Chaznish says, for the window. Got to pay for the window. Says the Chavetz Chaim, no, you don't pay for the window. You pay for the difference in the value of the house with a broken window and the value of a house without a broken window, with a window that's working. And guess what? The value of the house is going to be the same with or without the broken window. So I'm really going to have to pay nothing, because if they were selling their house, it wouldn't cost them, wouldn't save them any money, or cost them any money to have one window that happens to be broken in the house. So because the house, you're talking about $500,000, so for a window, that's whatever it is, it's not going to cost anything. So therefore, I'm going to end up not having to pay anything. Chavetz Chaim says this is by Ol Nezek. You pay for the difference in value. So that would be true by Ol Nezek. So what's Chazanish's argument? Seems pretty strong. He has a Mishnah like him. So Chazanish says, no, that's only true when you can't ever put it back to the situation that it was before. My animal ate a row of that field. I'm never going to get that row back. Yeah, the field may grow again, but it was going to grow again anyway, right? So I'm never going to get that row back. That's when we say that we follow these rules of payment. But when I could just put the situation back to the way it was before, then I'm obviously chayv to do that. That's what I certainly have to do, put the situation exactly the way it was before by putting a new window in there. So frankly, don't we already need Ubir B'Steyacher to tell me Lafuke Rishus Rabim, so says Gemara, Imkein Lichtav Rachmana Ubir Bistei Chavero, Inami Sde Acher. Let the Pasuk say Ubir Bistei Chavero or Sde Acher, not Bistei Acher. My Bistei Acher, Sheshaman Algav Sde Acher. Bistei Acher comes to teach me that you can make two drushes, that you can also make a drusha that you evaluate based on the value of the field. Veimakuli Lachiudasa Lafuke Rishus Rabminalan, but maybe that's Taka the only thing the Pasuk is coming to teach me. And how do I then know Lafuke Rishus Rabbin? Imkein lichtav rachmana, meaning how do I know that I'm pater on Shein and Rishus Rabim? So Imkein lichtav rachmana gabei tashlumin meitav sadeu meitav karmel yishalem b'stei acher. If it were only coming to teach me the din of how to evaluate the payment, then this diuk should have been written by the pasuk that's talking about payment. It should have said meitav sadeu meitav karmel yishalem b'stei acher. And then I would know that it's talking about by the payment. When evaluating the payment, you evaluate based on the difference in the value of the field. Lamli dekasi rachmana gabi ubir. Why does it put this diuk by the discussion of the actual damage being done rather than the payment? Shema minatarti. Must be that it's coming to teach me the din that Shein Birshus Rabim is pater also. It's coming to teach me both dinim, both the din in the damage itself, that if the damage was done in Birshus Rabim and pater, and it didn't in the payment, when it comes to evaluating how much money I have to pay, you evaluate the difference in value between the two, between the field before the damage and after the damage. Hechi Shaiminan, how do we do the evaluation? Am Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina, sub shishim se'in. You evaluate based on a base sa'a. When the Mishnah says you look at a base sa'a, it doesn't mean you look at that base sa'a alone to evaluate how much less that particular base sa'a is worth now that the row was eaten up. If you look at Rashi in the last wide line over there, that it's d'machish le'lamaz l'fisha beis sa'a nimkeres b'yoker, because one beis sa'a sells for a lot of money, l'fisha mu'atu, because it's not a great deal of land, ve'enu matzi l'macher, and therefore it's people generally don't sell such a small parcel of land. Va'ani she'en yado maseges l'dmei karka g'dola kona also b'yoser midamav. Right? If a person can't afford to buy a larger piece of land, he ends up buying a beis sa'a, but because of that, the demand of a beis sa'a is high, and therefore they could charge a premium for a smaller piece of land. So you're not getting a beis sa'a does not cost half of two beis sa'as, or 1/10 of 10 beis sa'as. Right? A beis sa'a costs a little more than half of two beis sa'as. When you buy in bulk, you get a better deal. The karachas aruga shel kavo kavayim chashv lo lefi damav elashamin shishim se'im kamashavin. Rather, what do? We look at 60 beis sa'as, how much they're worth, v'roen kamadam magin lebeis sa'a, and then we divide that number by 60, so we know how much it's per beis sa'a when you're buying 60 beis sa'in, v'chozun v'shama kamen nifchus v'damav v'shil karachas arugazu, and then we look at how much less it's worth because this row is eaten up. So that's what it means. Sa'a b'shishim sin. Rabbi Yana Yamar, back in the Gemara, tirkav b'shishim tirkavim. That we look at tirkav within 60 tirkavim. 30 sin, we measure 30 sin and not 60 beis sa'as, only 30 beis sa'as. That's his kula. Chizki Yamar, kelach b'shishim kalachim. That we look at 60 times the volume of the damage done. So if the animal ate one row, you look at 60 rows, you just look at 60 times whatever damage done. Meis veis, that if it eats a certain amount, so you don't say just pay the value, rather you look at it as if it's an aruga katana, as if it's one row, and you evaluate that and you do the evaluation based on that. So don't you see that you evaluate based on its own bifnei atzmo? You don't look at a larger parcel of land than it's actually in. You just look at the way it would be sold as a kav, or the way it would be sold in the shuk. I'm sorry, you don't say you look at the way it would be sold in the shuk. You look at the way that the field would be sold. So lo b'shish, no, it doesn't mean you evaluate it on its own. It means you evaluate with the 60 whatever surrounding it, with the 60 by 60 times the se'in or the tirkov or whatever. The kasha was a kasha on all the shitos, because it seems like you evaluated individually. And the answer is no. It's talking about it could go with any of the shitos. You don't evaluate a kav because then it's going to be mashbiach. It's going to be mashbiach the amount of money, and nor the base core, because it's going to be pogim. So my ka'amar, what does that mean? Amar of papa ka'amar, ein shaman kav b'shishim kavim, m'nei mashbiach mazik. Don't evaluate the kav by 60 kavim, by an evaluation of 60 kavim, because then the mazik is going to end up having to pay very little. He's going to end up winning. V'lo kor b'shishim kurin, m'nei pogim mazik. Nor a kor of shishim kurin, you don't do that, because it's pogim mazik, because a person who needs to buy to buy karka is going to end up overpaying for that, and therefore it's going to end up costing the mazik more money. Maskvar of Hunabar Manoah, chai velo base core, velo kormi vayilei. Well, then why does it say velo base core? It should say velo core, if that's what it means. Elam Rav Hunabar Manoah, mishrei de ravacha, brei de ravika, hachi ktani. You don't evaluate the kav on its own, because then the nizik ends up winning. V'lo kav bebeis kor, because then the nizik loses. Elo b'shishim. Rather, you look at the shishim rather than the kav or the base kor. I guess we'll stop there. There's no good stopping point lower down.